GBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Wall Street's major indexes closed lower after President Trump threatened a 50% tariff on all imports from the European Union starting next month and a 25% tariff on smartphones made overseas. A federal judge has temporarily blocked the Trump administration from ordering Harvard University not to admit any foreign students. The university's suing over the order. ABC's Livia Rubin.
A number of students are saying that they're quite nervous as this goes on, using words like anxious.
It is definitely shocking and very uncomfortable for all of us, but we have to say that we prepared for this.
There are hearings set for Tuesday and Thursday of this upcoming week to hear the merits of this case.
Billy Joel is canceling all scheduled concerts, saying that he's dealing with a brain disorder which has affected his hearing, vision, and balance. Experts say his physical therapy is expected to lead to full recovery. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
From local news to what's going on around the state, Civic Media's mission is to bring you real news and great conversation. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. The deadline is May 30th. If Brown County, the city of Green Bay, and C. Rice can't agree on where to move the coal piles currently sitting on prime waterfront real estate in the downtown area, the whole project will lose a $15 million state grant. Representatives from the city, county, and C. Rice met to discuss the county's two new proposals this week. Brown County Board of Supervisors Chair Pat Buckley thinks something will be done by the deadline. About $30 million in funding has been secured for the project, but the Wisconsin Department of Administration let officials know last year that the $15 million neighborhood investment grant will be pulled if an agreement between the three parties is not met by the end of this month. Studies have shown that moving the coal piles from the waterfront property could generate $150 million in new development for the city and county. The coal piles have been on the waterfront for 125 years. Four Mexican nationals in the United States illegally have been arrested and charged in federal court with conspiracy to distribute large amounts of cocaine in the Green Bay area. A federal grand jury indicted 50-year-old Ruben Espinoza, 20-year-olds Pablo and Pedro Navarro, and 27-year-old San Juana Ocha on several counts. Court documents say DEA agents seized 30 kilos of cocaine from a car that was occupied by the defendants. Officials say the men expected to get about $495,000 in cash for the cocaine. If convicted, the defendants face a mandatory minimum sentence of 10 years, up to life in prison. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
The Brewers sink the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers beat the Pirates 8-5. After a nearly two-hour rain delay during the sixth, the Brewers started Aaron Civale, then right-hander Carlos Rodriguez came in and managed to continue pitching after the long delay, Pat Murphy.
You know, it feels like Civale pitched yesterday, but to be able to pitch after that delay, to delay almost 2 hours and have the mental capacity in his first outing of the year in the big leagues, get his first major league win, he deserves it.
NFL, the Packers' annual charity softball game is tonight in Grand Chute, Wisconsin.
I know the fans are a big part of this game. They show out every year and pack that stadium out, so hopefully we can get as many fans as possible out there. It's going to be another awesome event, another awesome year. I know the players are excited to, you know, show off their softball skills. We've been working and training very hard. Come out, bring the family. It'll be an awesome event to be able to watch the Packer players play a different sport.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low in the low 40s. For tomorrow, mainly sunny. Few clouds around the area and highs in the mid-60s. And partly to mostly sunny on Sunday and Monday, highs into the upper 60s. Chance of rain on Tuesday. It's 60 right now.
Remembering Vietnam, brought to you by The Dispensary.
We started getting shot at. So we're running and shooting and diving into the ditches and getting up and running some more. We get to the bodies, and it dawns on me. How in the hell are we supposed to carry them back? The captain says, give me your rifles. So we picked them up and started carrying them back. We were scared out of our minds. They were still shooting at us. How they missed, I do not know. They must have thought we were nuts. We got about a quarter mile back, and somebody had decided, to hell with it. Let's go back there and get the truck and pick them up. That was a bad day. I was so scared going back there and trying to carry them, I couldn't even think about what was going on. Mike Brzezinski, United States Army, Vietnam.
Hear this full story at WGBW.FM. Click on Remembering Vietnam. Brought to you by The Dispensary. Online at TheD8Dispensary.com. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's an all-star pre-recorded cast of guests with WBAY's Emerson Lehman, director Michael Collins, Civic Media's Eliza Cusson, and Terry Barr for Bar Band Friday Night.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show. And not everything I'm going to talk about today is illegal. But everything that I'm going to talk about today is bad for regular Americans.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I'm a data wonk.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I talk about food a lot on the show. It's a thing. I am a foodie.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. Hope you all are doing very well. It is Friday. We made it, ladies and gentlemen. I am Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, if you've been hanging out listening to all of my fine colleagues, starting with Pat Kreitlow, of course, in the mornings, and then we got the fine Todd Alba Show following up Pat. We got Jane and Greg, actually, that's who follows Pat Kreitlow in the morning, then Todd. You know that on Fridays, it is Free Ticket Friday across the Civic Media Radio Network, where we give you a chance to win a four-pack of Brewers tickets in the fine Civic Media Club seats. So it is that time. If you have been waiting patiently with bated breath through the first hour of the show, I will, in this segment, before we are done, drop the word of the day that you can text in to be entered to win. You will get a bounce back text that will confirm that your word of the day has been entered to win, and we will let winners know on Monday if they are the lucky winners of Free Ticket Friday. Now, here's the catch. You cannot text in normally, like, oh, just type in Civic Media 855-752. No, don't do that. You need to go get the Civic Media app from any app store that you like, your favorite app store, perhaps even. And that is how you will text us to win. If you enter with your keyword any other way, it does not count. So you do need to use the app. I will drop the word of the day on you all before this segment is out. This will get you, again, four tickets to this week's upcoming next week's Brewers game on Tuesday, May 27th. They're playing the Boston Red Sox at 6:40 p.m. at beautiful AmFam Field. Again, that game is this coming Tuesday, May 27th versus Boston at 6:40. What a better, could there be a possibly a better way to start out a short work week after the long Memorial Day weekend than to have yourself some fun at a Brewers game? I think not. So keep it locked here. I'll drop that word for Free Ticket Friday before the end of this segment. Two weeks ago exactly, I ended up, we had a show plan, and the show plan went kablooey because domestic policy advisor and deputy chief of staff Stephen Miller went out onto the White House lawn and told a bunch of reporters that, oh yeah, you know, the president can just suspend habeas corpus. We're considering doing that. And we spent that show talking about habeas corpus and why, frankly, that's insane. Since then, we've watched Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem fail to be able to correctly define habeas corpus in what can be only described as an epic fail. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think cabinet-level secretary should have some command of the Constitution, including, you know, especially perhaps if you're the head of DHS, what the heck habeas corpus is. Anywho, I digress. Also, what happened on that day that made that Friday extraordinarily disturbing was the arrest of, not that day, but subsequently. On that day, there were protests outside an ICE facility in Newark, New Jersey. Now, a couple things happened. First of all, the Newark mayor was arrested. Now, his charges were dropped this week. And the judge overseeing that case was extremely displeased. His name is Andre Espinoza. I'm going to tell you more about that in just a moment. And so, again, on that day, so 2 weeks ago, Friday, the mayor of Newark at this protest was arrested. There was also a kerfuffle that day between Congresswoman LaMonica McIver, Democratic rep, represents New Jersey, she was at the protest as well, and some federal agents. Well, what has happened subsequently, in like a very weird echo of the Judge Hannah Dugan arrest, is that while the charges against the Newark mayor have been dismissed, Alina Haba's Department of U.S. Attorney's Office for New Jersey is pressing charges against Congresswoman McIver. So those charges were filed. She was arraigned and released on her own recognizance this past Wednesday. Now, in interviews with media outlets, the Congresswoman has said that U.S. Attorney Haba, who, just if you forgot who this was, Alina Haba was one of Donald Trump's criminal defense lawyers. She's the one that didn't know that you need to stand up when a judge enters a courtroom. The judge had to tell her that. So, you know, real top-notch appointment by Donald Trump to the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of New Jersey. What the Congresswoman explained after she was released on her own recognizance after her preliminary hearing this Wednesday was that Alina Haba basically tried to get her to plea or some sort of an agreement and put a series of put some papers in front of her and said, sign this. And they were a series of admissions. And by the Congresswoman's account, they were admissions to things that the Congresswoman simply did not do. And she refused to sign that. The charges have proceeded. Her hearing on Wednesday took about 15 minutes. She denied the charges, said she was carrying out her duty, exercising her First Amendment rights as a member of Congress, and also specifically overseeing Congress as an oversight body at its base. So a Congresswoman attending a protest and observing what is happening is perfectly legitimate. And just to add some color to this, I have some direct experience with these kinds of situations. Back in 2020, when I was the chief legal officer for Milwaukee County, there were extensive Black Lives Matter protests all across the county. And there were questions that arose during those protests when elected officials were present. Eventually, there were some curfews that were established. Oftentimes, law enforcement would give protesters directions about where they could or could not go. And the questions that arose were, when we have elected officials that are there in their capacity as elected officials, not as part of the protest, but in their capacity as elected officials, how should the police or law enforcement interact with them? And our guidance could not be super specific because some of it depends on what exactly happens. But in general, my office's legal guidance to the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Department is, if an elected official identifies themselves as an elected official, and we encouraged elected officials to wear name badges or other identification out on their clothing, very visible so that law enforcement could see them. And if you were wearing that sort of name badge or officially designating yourself as an elected official, that they were there to observe. They were executing their official duties as a member of the legislature, which is an oversight body. The legislature oversees how the executive branch, including law enforcement agencies, execute their job duties. And so even if law enforcement were giving directions to the protesters, if you had an elected official there, law enforcement had to take some caution because the elected official has the right to observe and observe fairly directly. So again, you're seeing, not unlike in the Judge Dugan case, this real clash between branches of government. In Judge Dugan's case, between state government and federal government. Here in Congresswoman McIver's case, between the powers of Congress in their oversight capacity and the federal government executing law enforcement functions. Now, here's another odd similarity between the cases. One of Congresswoman McIver's lawyers, fascinating fact here, is the former U.S. attorney for the District of New Jersey, a guy by the name of Paul Fishman. Again, former U.S. attorney. Do you guys remember me talking to you about the fact that Judge Dugan also has as part of her legal team the what? Oh, yes, the former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, a gentleman by the name of Stephen Biskupic. So, again, some very, very fascinating parallels there. But I wanted to take a special note to let you all know that Mayor Baraka, the mayor of New Jersey, again, he was arrested at the protest itself 2 weeks ago. And again, the charges against him or the bases for his arrest dismissed. There's not going to be any criminal proceeding. Now, here is the rub on this case. The Department of Justice, U.S. Attorney Alina, I don't know to stand in a courtroom when a judge enters it. Haba, the, again, absolute best of the best that we could have possibly gotten to appoint as the new U.S. attorney for the District of New Jersey. She actually posted that they were dismissing the charges against Mayor Baraka on social media before they had filed anything or informed the judge overseeing the case that they were doing so. That is a big no-no. Now, Judge Espinoza, he is a former clerk to the Chief Justice. He worked as a U.S. attorney. This is a smart, smart judge, a very experienced lawyer, fairly conservative. So again, he was ticked off and took Alina Haba and the Department of Justice to task for basically the entirety of the case against Mayor Baraka. It is worthy of a read. We will be posting the links. There is not yet the transcript from that hearing. There are just media accounts of it. So we're going to post the links to a couple of those media accounts in our show chat for today because I think they're worthy of reading. I am going to wait to give you my analysis of what the judge said until the full transcript is available because you know me, everybody, I like to get things exactly right. So once that transcript drops, I know Congresswoman McIver's lawyers have requested the transcript. Once that drops, I will revisit that because again, Judge Andre Espinoza, he was not messing around, was very upset with the Department of Justice. Of course, that coming on the heels of a different U.S. District Court judge yesterday concluding that the Department of Justice had violated one of the court's orders. So, folks, we are tumbling deeper and deeper into some sort of version of a slow-moving constitutional crisis with every single passing day. Now, it is Free Ticket Friday. I did make some promises that I would drop the word to win for you to text via the Civic Media app. And here it is. For four tickets, club-level tickets to the Tuesday, May 27th game against the Boston Red Sox at 6:40 p.m., text in the word FAMILY, F-A-M-I-L-Y. For full contest rules, go to civicmedia.us. The word to win is FAMILY, as in we are family. You and me and everybody here at Civic Media, keep it locked We'll be back on the other side of these brief messages. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Insight Eye Care has been serving the Fox Valley for over 30 years and are proud sponsors of Mino and the Mayor's Eye on the Community. Insight offers comprehensive eye care, including glasses and contact lenses. Their doctors have a special interest in treating chronic eye disease, specialty contact lenses, and pediatric care. Find Insight on Sawyer Street in Oshkosh and Chain Drive in Appleton. Visit WIinsight.com to schedule your eye exam. Improving lives by improving sight. Insight Eye Care.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Testnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text ALL to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text ALL to 321-321. That's ALL to 321-321.
Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. You remember when the U.S. government has lied to the American people? It happened a few times. Specifically, when the U.S. government has lied to the American people about matters of national security and intelligence issues. Conjures up images of Kent State during the Vietnam War. Certainly brings to mind weapons of mass destruction and the lies that were told during that period of time in our country's more recent history, as well as the lie that was told that, you know, Saddam Hussein was somehow associated with Al-Qaeda. He wasn't. It got us into wars. And Americans died because politicians lied about U.S. intelligence. They politicized U.S. security and national intelligence reporting, and they repeated those lies or made innuendos and allowed the general public to have a misapprehension about things. Well, the same thing is happening right now. And the Trump administration is engaging in those lies every day. Now, we've been talking about the unconstitutional violations of due process, the discussion of the abhorrent idea that a president without congressional approval could wave a magic wand and get rid of habeas corpus. But we got to those discussions because Donald Trump invoked the Alien Enemies Act to engage in these mass deportations, specifically or at least allegedly focused on members of the gang Tren de Agua. And as you know, if you've been listening to the show and keeping up with these recent news events, courts have now, and the Supreme Court have permitted courts to prohibit the president from using the Alien Enemies Act to conduct any more deportations, because the Alien Enemies Act, which dates back to 1798, is supposed to only be used when you're actually being invaded by a foreign army or you're in a time of war. We're not in either. But you would be completely reasonable in asking, well, how in the hell did Donald Trump get to invoke it in the first place? Like, didn't he have to make some sort of argument about an invasion that has something to do with a foreign government? And of course, we all know, we look down Main Street, do we see foreign troops with uniforms from some other country's army marching down our streets or trying to take over? No, we don't. So what the hell was Donald Trump basing that action on in the first place? What argument did he make to even make that possible? Well, the argument that Donald Trump made is that Tren de Agua is actually controlled by the Venezuelan government. Now, that is a question of fact, right? Is Tren de Agua controlled by the Venezuelan government? If it is, maybe there is a colorable argument that he can invoke the Alien Enemies Act. But if it isn't, the entire factual predicate for the executive order to engaging these mass deportations based on his invocation of the Alien Enemies Act goes away. So the natural next question that every reasonable person of good faith would ask is, gee whiz, what do our intelligence communities have to say about the question of fact, whether or not Tren de Agua is in fact controlled by the Venezuelan government? Turns out our intelligence communities have analyzed that fact question and have uniformly concluded that Tren de Agua is not controlled by the Venezuelan government, that they're in fact basically in constant conflict, that there have been gun battles between federal troops, federal Venezuelan troops and gang members, that there's not any reasonable evidentiary basis to make that factual assertion at all. Now, that would significantly complicate the president's claims that he's making every day about all of this. So what do you do about it? Well, remember, the head of the Department of National Intelligence is Tulsi Gabbard. The director of national intelligence is Tulsi Gabbard. And so when this report saying there's no connection came up from the intelligence communities, what do you think they did about it? Well, the New York Times has reported this week that Ms. Gabbard's chief of staff told them to do some rewriting. Here is the email that has been reported by the New York Times. This is Tulsi Gabbard, the director of national intelligence, her chief of staff, to the intelligence communities after reviewing a draft of the report that concluded, no, there's no connection between Tren de Agua and the government of Venezuela. Quote, we need to do some rewriting and more analytic work. So, quote, this document is not used against the director of National Intelligence, or POTUS, the acronym for the President of the United States. This was written by Joe Kent, the Chief of Staff, to Tulsi Gabbard on April 3rd. And indeed, one of the reports was indeed revised, and the revised report was issued on April 7th. It still fundamentally contradicts Donald Trump's claim of the idea that Tren de Agua is controlled and directed by the Venezuelan government. But this, ladies and gentlemen, this is the interference of politicians in our nation's intelligence apparatus that places every armed service person, every National Guardsman and woman at risk, places our very security at risk. This is unacceptable. You got to keep politics out of law enforcement and intelligence. Full stop. We're going to take care of some business here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and I'll be back with you on the other side. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 97.9 WGBW.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Wisconsin's Republican House members all voted for that one big, beautiful bill, the budget bill in Washington, D.C. Joanne Krulatz reports.
The Republican-authored budget bill has been panned by Wisconsin's Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, who says it would increase the federal deficit over the next 10 years. At the same time, Democrats condemn massive cuts to SNAP, Medicaid, and to other support programs to cover new tax breaks for billionaires and corporations. But 6th District Congressman Glenn Grothman says the bill is full of wins for the American people, including lower taxes and higher wages and no tax on tips. 7th District Representative Tom Tiffany posted to X that the bill means more money in your pocket, while 5th District Congressman Scott Fitzgerald said it makes good on promises to bring tax relief, reduce government waste, and secure the border. Democrats Mark Pocan and Gwen Moore voted no on the bill, which still needs to pass the U.S. Senate.
The holiday weekend means more people will be out enjoying Wisconsin's outdoors. Civic Media's Jimmy Kuska reports on how you can stay safe while having fun on those ATVs.
The DNR is reminding ATV and UTV riders to wear helmets, seatbelts, and follow traffic and route rules this Memorial Day weekend. Last year, 40 people died in ATV or UTV crashes in Wisconsin, most of them with the rider not wearing a helmet. In addition, 150 ATV or UTV crashes happened on roadways in the state last year. The DNR says to follow traffic laws, don't drink or do drugs before or during a ride, and let someone know where you're going and when you'll return. You can find more ATV and UTV information on the DNR website.
I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. George Wendt passed away earlier this week. Most people know him as Norm from Cheers, where he spent 11 seasons and was the only cast member, including Ted Danson, to appear in all 275 episodes. In addition to Cheers, his credits include Fletch, Airplane 2, Outside Providence, and of course, Bob Swirsky, one of the Chicago superfans. Here are a couple fun facts about George Wendt. He got his start in Chicago at Second City, but his first job there was sweeping floors. He's actually the uncle to Ted Lasso himself, Jason Sudeikis. Here are some fun Norm lines to remember George Wendt by.
What's shaking, Norm?
All four cheeks and a couple of chins, Coach.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This report sponsored by the City of Marinette, home of the Queen Marinette Run the River Powerboat Races June 7th and 8th. More details at fishonmarinette.com.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low in the low 40s. For tomorrow, mainly sunny. A few clouds around the area and highs in the mid-60s. And partly to mostly sunny on Sunday and Monday, highs into the upper 60s. Chance of rain on Tuesday. It's 60 right now.
Mark your calendars for heart-pumping, exhilarating action at the 2025 Queen Marinette's Run the River Powerboat Races in Marinette, Wisconsin on June 7th and 8th. The action will be nonstop as these high-octane boats reach speeds of over 105 miles per hour. Races kick off on Saturday and Sunday at 12:30 p.m. and run throughout the day. Free for the whole family, this is the perfect summertime weekend getaway. For more information, head to fishonmarinette.com and click on the events page.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game to greater things.
Start building your retirement plan at thisispretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a very special Memorial Day episode. We talk to Jeremy Lyon from the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs on our cemeteries, honoring our veterans, and more. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Oh, thank God, it's time for some fun.
Hello, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show on this Friday, pre-Memorial Day edition. And roundabout every Friday at this time, usually 5:30-ish, we do a little something that we like to call Ask Maggie, where listeners, that's all of you fine people, get to email in, call in, or text your questions for me. Now, the bit here is this. Hypothetically, I'm supposed to constrain my responses to questions, and I don't know what I'm going to get asked, to either 20, 30, or 60 seconds. Sometimes it's very doable. Other times I get complex economic questions and I can't quite get it in. And then I do my best to just wrap it up more expediently. So we beg of your forgiveness if I don't adhere to the rules, to the letter of the rule, but in the spirit of the segment, I try to keep it as short as I possibly can. Other days, I don't know, Jamie, we just digress.
You know, that's okay, though. Rules are boring and they were made to be broken sometimes. So it's totally fine. Like with that good intro, I think that we need to ask Cal to roll the official Ask Maggie intro. Ooh. Now so that we can get ready for this segment. So go ahead, Cal.
Jazzy. Love it.
Well, we do like to have a little fun here sometimes,
yes.
Right?
Yes, indeed.
When the GOP can behave themselves long enough to give us a little bit of a reprieve and to have a little fun, then we try to
not
do those things.
Yeah, not holding my breath, Jamie. It's been a long week.
It's still early in the day, right?
Yes. Yes.
Should we jump into this? Because
yes,
I think that's a good place to start, because I have my own Ask Maggie question for today. So, Cal, we're going to give her...
Producer privilege, right? Producer privilege.
I am, because this is an important one, and I think people need to know the complexities of the big, beautiful bill, including, is there an excise tax on tanning, or did they get away, like, reduce that? Like, I have to know about this. I don't know how much you've dug into this, but, Cal, let's give her 30 seconds to discuss excise taxes on tanning, and when you're ready.
Oh, my goodness. Well, if you have been watching some of the minutiae, Representative Teresa Fernandez went off yesterday, I believe, about the tax preferences for tanning beds over hospital beds. It was quite a moment. And she called out a fellow congressperson. Let's see, it would have been Representative Jason Smith, a Republican of Missouri, to actually read the line in the budget bill about the tanning beds. And Rep. Jason Smith would not do so. Oops-a-daisy! She legit asked him, quote, so that the American public knows what this bill does, would you please read page 901, line 20? And Smith responded, I think it'd be better if you read it. So I don't know, is it surprising that the great tan man in the Oval Office wants tax privileges
tan,
for tanning
though.
Beds? No.
I mean, if that's a real tan, we have some major problems, because it varies in shades and it varies in complexity and thickness from day to day. And sometimes it sweats right off of him. So there's some major issues, and we don't want to make light of the big, beautiful bill, as the GOP like to call it, but I feel like after the week we've had watching this whole process play out, we have to make light where we can, because there's some serious ramifications of it as well. But
here's the Wisconsin connect on this. A congressional representative did actually read that provision, and it was our very own, very fabulous Gwen Moore read the provision out loud, quote, section 11106, repeal of excise tax on indoor tanning services.
Mm,
I'm glad that we've got our priorities right.
Those are the priorities of life right there. I'm sure all of us were worried about how we were going to pay for the taxes on that tanning bed, that we have in our own homes, nonetheless. My gosh. All right. So now that we've got our real priorities of the world straight, let's get to some of the other questions. Okay. And we've got some good ones. Now, I want to get to this one because this one actually came into us on email a couple of weeks ago, and we've been trying to get to it ever since. And it turns out that it might be somebody you know. Austin from Denver emailed AskMaggie at civicmedia.us.
Hey, Oz, it's good to hear from you, my friend, and everybody out in Colorado and the Denver area. Hope you're all doing well. What did Austin want to know?
Well, he says that you always talk about your little pancake smelling dog, Finny. And with the weather getting nicer, what are some of your favorite dog friendly weekend activities in general or just specific to the state of Wisconsin? I feel like you're going to need a little bit of time because I've met Miss Finny and she's quite the girl. So I feel like we're going to need like 60 seconds because I feel like Miss Finny gets around a little bit in the best possible way.
In the best sense of that expression.
That's right. That's right. So 60 seconds for this one, Cal, whenever you're ready.
Well, if you are new to the show, I am a giant tall lady. So I thought it would be, you know, a juxtaposition to get a little tiny dog. So my dog's name is Finny. She's a miniature dachshund. She weighs less than 14 pounds. She's adorable. And yes, she smells like pancakes, which is the best thing ever. Anyways, Finny will walk, 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 walk. If I'm walking, she's walking. She will walk forever. So I love going out on the Oak Leaf Trail, which is here in Milwaukee. Beautiful hiking and walking area. Now, here's the other thing. I have a, what do they call it? Like a little towny little bike with a basket in the front. Would it surprise anyone that I put Finny in the basket and tool around to get my errands done on the weekends? Pick up a couple of, you know, dried goods at the grocery store, or as Donald Trump would like to say, I pick up the grocery with my little dog in her basket. I would like to say, please do not conjure up Wicked Witch of the West images. It's not me stealing Toto. Finny's actually my dog. And if you see me out and about in the Milwaukee area, I got my little roadster bike. It's like teal green and Finny in the basket in front. She's caramel brown. Give us a hoot. Say hello. I just like hanging out with her. She's the kind of dog you can almost take her anywhere because she's so small.
Yes.
And she mostly just wants to like sniff around, say hi to everybody.
And give kisses.
And then she's like, okay, mom, let me just sit on your lap and I'll take a nap. Yes. So she's easy to take anywhere. So I'll do anything with Finny.
She's amazing. She's absolutely amazing and so adorable. And by the way, you said that Donald Trump calls it grocery because I'm pretty sure in his entire life, that's what he's bought. One grocery item.
The grocery.
just one at the grocery. Yes, that's all we've got. All right. So this is a good one. And I got to get back over to my other tab here. This actually comes to us from Tara in Amory. And Tara wants to know, Maggie Dawn, what is the last song that you have on your playlist? The last song that you would have listened to? Because I know you love music. I know this is a good one. All right. So let's give her 30 seconds for this one, Cal, whenever you're ready.
I actually want to get this right. So I'm opening up my favorite music app, and it is Lake Street Dive. Hell is on the way, or Help is on the way, excuse me. And before that, Wild Night from Van Morrison. There is a little bit of the Kenny Wayne Shepherd Band. Some Susan Tedeschi, Aloe Black. That's what I got going on these days. I need some relaxing tunes. So that's what I've been jamming out to. And if you listen to the show, we've been working on pulling in some of the tunage that I like a lot. I really dig some Steely Dan, Paul Simon when I've got to relax. Mm-hmm. Chicago, that's a big hit. I'm going to see Bonnie Raitt this summer. I'll stop talking.
That should be really good. And by the way, you said Hell is on the way, and I feel like you got it right the first time. Like probably. That was a Freudian slip.
Yes. I'm describing accurately.
I feel like you got it right the first time. I have to say, though, I saw Chicago in concert a few years ago. When I say a few, I think Max was not even born yet. So it's been a really long time.
So a handful. Yeah.
21 now. We actually saw them at a state fair, and I love Chicago, but it was the most boring show I'd ever been to because they got on stage and you know how sometimes artists will interact with the crowd. Chicago was like, no, no, this is a stopover for us. We are not doing that tonight. Just keep playing. And so it was like literally putting their entire catalog just from start to finish. And that's what they did. They walked off the stage and they were done. I was like, oh. Okay. I mean, it wasn't a horrible concert, but it was really boring. It was just really boring. No interaction with the audience at all.
Jamie, there are probably some people with some other substances that were very much enjoying themselves on a whole different plane listening to Chicago jam out at the state fair.
I was guessing. Like, I'm a little bored. I mean, like, hello, can you at least say hi, acknowledge that we're here, sitting here, looking at you? It is what it is, I guess. How much time do we have left? I don't have a timer in front of
me. 3 minutes.
Okay. All right. So we've got time for it. We're trying to stick with the really easy stuff as we ease ourselves into Memorial Day weekend.
Indeed.
All right. So this is another good one. And this comes to us from, I got to get back over to my tab, Mike, who listens in the Rice Lake area. So thank you so much, Mike, for contacting us. This is a really good question as well. He needs a new book. And so Mike is wondering, what book do you suggest he read, Maggie Dawn? And I know you're also an avid reader. So I'm going to say that you might need like 60 seconds for this one, because I bet you have a good list of them. So Cal, whenever you're ready, 60 seconds. What is a good book that we should be reading suggested by Maggie Dawn?
So I absolutely love the book Demon Copperhead. It is fabulous. I also read, you may be surprised to know, like anything that has to do with like spies and legal thrillers and espionage, like I am down for that. So Scott Turow came out with a newer book not too long ago. I gobbled that up. When it comes to nonfiction, I do read a lot of nonfiction. I think The Color of Law is an absolute must read. I think White Fragility is a must read. I have been pulling off my bookshelf again some bell hooks as Juneteenth Day is approaching in preparation for that. Bell Hooks is a Black feminist. She talks a lot about liberation, philosophy. So that gives you a little sampling. I'm actually right now, I am in between books because what happens is I get all obsessive about it. So I'll start a book and then I'm just, consumed with reading, and friends and family will get ticked off at me because we're like, oh, you want to go hang out? I'm like, no, I'm reading a book. I'm reading a couple of books. Got to finish a book. Yeah. My like happy spot on a weekend is The Dog and Me, preferably in a hammock in a beautiful city park with my book or books, just hanging out, watching the world go by while I read some pages. And I also tend to prefer hard copies. I have a Kindle. I do use it, especially when I'm traveling.
I like something in my hands. I'm old school.
I am a sucker. I like to be able to mark pages.
Absolutely. Sometimes you find that passage. You got to keep it, right? I can't do that.
All of my stuff is dog-eared. People come over, they're like, Maggie, you have a lot of books. Did you read all those? I was like, pick one off the shelf, flip through it. You will see like marginal notes.
Yeah. Yep. I know. Mine are the same way. Yes. Nobody ever borrows my books. That's a good way to keep people out of your personal library.
That's correct. I have it. Would it surprise you that I have a stamp from the library of Margaret Cena? I'm a dork. What can I say? Book nerd, data wonk, all these things. That's Jamie Martinson, my senior producer. She's going to be back with me on the other side. We're going to share with you some of the state's Memorial Day events next, right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This Memorial Day, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW would like us all to reflect on the words of Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Those who have long enjoyed such privileges as we enjoy forget in time that men have died to win them. This message made possible by Hubbard Electric. Hubbard Electric in Manitowoc is the area's top choice for electrical contractors because they're focused on quality and value. Call today, 920-686-1180.
We believe your stories matter because here at WGBW, your stories are our stories too. Our award-winning news team of Lisa Hale, Brittany Merlot, and Terry Barr cover the issues that affect your life every day, the stories that shape your world. You'll hear it on the air, read it online, and see it on social media, wherever you are. Real news, great conversation, 97.9 WGBW, connected to you and your community.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The independent state legislature theory met a skeptical U.S. Supreme Court in 2023 in Moore v. Harper, a North Carolina gerrymandering case. The Michigan GOP tried to employ the fringe theory to undo Michigan's Question 2 citizen ballot initiative, but the U.S. Supreme Court refused the case May 19th. Proponents argue the independent state legislature theory gives legislatures ultimate power over federal election rules based on a widely dismissed interpretation of the election clause of the U.S. Constitution. In North Carolina's case, the legislature admitted it gerrymandered but said it had the final say and the courts and governor had no jurisdiction. In 2022, Michigan's Promote the Vote Question 2 ballot initiative passed 60% to 40%. It enshrined multiple voting rights in the state constitution, including 9 days of early voting, guaranteeing the right to vote without harassment, offering a permanent vote-by-mail list, and mandating drop boxes and several other important voting reforms. 11 GOP legislators tried to invalidate the ballot question using the ISL theory. They argued that only the state legislature could make election law, not those pesky constituents. The Michigan Supreme Court dismissed the case in April 2024, and on May 19th, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear the case. We have more on ISL and the Michigan case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
An unsuspecting driver at a Milwaukee barbershop.
I got an apprentice here shadowing me. I'll put this hot towel on, man. About a good 3 minutes, all right?
The apprentice is Donald Driver.
So when you come here, you drive?
Yes.
Your car got seat belts?
Yeah.
You wear them?
No.
Okay, but why not?
I don't want to.
But do you know you can get a ticket for that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you a ticket. Bet you wish you buckle up now.
Oh, my God.
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Take it, click it. There we go.
Click it or take it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Welcome back, everybody. You're not caught in the crossfire. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I got my senior producer, Jamie, cruising on through the end of the show with me as we go off into the sunset on this Memorial Day weekend. And Jamie, we wanted to share with folks across the state some of the amazing Memorial Day events that may be happening in their neck of the woods. Why don't you get us started off? What's going on in the AUK region?
So you've got a lot of options, whether you're in Milwaukee, Oconomowoc, Waukesha, Elm Grove, the Delafield area. There's just a whole bunch going on. So please check your local calendars because we can't get to all of them. We don't have time, but there's some really great stuff happening. If you're in Milwaukee, there's a remembrance at Wood National Cemetery. That's going to be on the Milwaukee VA campus near the flagpole and memorial area. That's Monday morning at 9:25.
That's right by AmFam Field. Yep.
Yep. If you're in Waukesha, there's going to be remembrance activities at a river ceremony with the Avenue of Flags. That's along the main road through the Prairie Home Cemetery. That's going to be going from like early in the morning, 8 a.m. till about 2 in the afternoon. There's going to be a riverside ceremony at Veterans Park at 9 a.m. and then a Memorial Day service at Cutler Park at 10 a.m. If you're in Menominee Falls, they're having this huge Falls Memorial Fest all weekend long. So the festival is actually going to run Saturday from 8 a.m. until 11 p.m. in downtown Menominee Falls. And then there's a veterans concert Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. at Village Park. And then there's going to be a Memorial Day parade Monday at 10 a.m. So that's like
wow.
The place to be this weekend, right?
Hey, you got it going.
Right. West Bend has a Memorial Day parade Monday at 9:30. As we look into the northern region of our WGBW area in Green Bay, a couple places are going to have things happening on Monday. There's a Memorial Day observance at Heritage Hill State Historical Park from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. If you're in the Fond du Lac area listening on WISS in Oshkosh or WISS in Appleton, there's going to be a Memorial Day parade and ceremony at Veterans Park Monday at 10 a.m. If you're in the Manitowoc area, there is a Memorial Day parade and ceremony in downtown Manitowoc on Monday at 9 a.m. And we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the fine folks at WXCO in Wausau. They're having a Memorial Day remembrance program at Restlawn Memorial Park Monday morning at 11 a.m. And then if you listen in Wisconsin Rapids on WFHR, whole bunch going on in Wisconsin Rapids, also in Amherst, Marshfield, and Neillsville. We'll mention Wisconsin Rapids. There's going to be a dedication of four legacy stones, color guard, rifle salute, and taps at the Wood County Veterans Memorial. That is actually that actually took place this afternoon at 1 o'clock. So let me tell you about something that you can go to and did not miss.
There you go.
Amherst, there's going to be a Memorial Day program at the Amherst High School live radio, folks. It happens. That's going to be at the gym, followed by a solemn procession Monday morning starting at 9 a.m. So you are guaranteed not to miss that one. And then a whole bunch happening in the Hayward, Amory area as well. And then, of course, over in Eau Claire, if you listen on 93.5 The Tap, there's going to be a Memorial Day parade at Wilson Park Monday morning at 9:30. And then Richland Center on WRCE also has a parade Monday morning at 10 a.m. and then a ceremony at the Richland Center Cemetery at 10:45. So really, again, check your local areas, check your local calendars, check those local Facebook groups, whatever, because there is a lot if you do want to join any sort of those remembrance ceremonies throughout the weekend, because a lot of them are happening throughout the entire weekend. So
I did want to give some special love to Stalas right here in southeastern Wisconsin, because they have a flyover, which I think is super cool, by the Commemorative Air Force Wisconsin Wing, including a presentation of colors by West Dallas PD Color Guard and music from Nathan Hale Chamber Choir at Veterans Memorial Park on Monday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. I'm probably going to try to scooch over there and check it out. I love a good flyover. Now, in the WMDX area, in the Madisonian area, what do we have going on?
So I'm actually excited about this one, because in Monona, there's going to be a Memorial Day parade down Monona Drive at 10 a.m. And I'm very excited because I don't have to do much work. It's actually going to go right down our road. I get to walk out onto my balcony and just watch it. No work involved.
Oh, that is the... So, Jamie, this reminds me, when I lived, if you've been listening to me for a while, you know that I lived in New York for a number of years, and I was fortunate enough to live on Columbus Circle, which is the northwest corner of Central Park. Mm-hmm. And so what was amazing is that the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade would roll by my building, and the New York City Marathon, also the route went right by that right before they went into Central Park. So there was usually a couple of friends that would come over. There might have been some Bloody Marys, some mimosas kind of a thing, hanging out, maybe some latkes, couple of pancakes, especially with the marathon. We take a look. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at all those wonderful athletes. Who would like another drink? Like, you know, ring our cowbell out the window. Woohoo. And then
they're
go
sure
get another
good
drink.
They're good at that running. Here, let's drink some more.
And the best part of the New York City marathons were they would set up the race course, you know, like the week ahead of time. So when I would jog far fewer miles, I would be able to jog part of the New York City Marathon course in Central Park, including the end shoot. So, you know, like, ooh, it makes you feel like a winner. But, you know, at probably like 3 to 4 miles instead of the brutal 26.2. I'm not designed for long distance running. That's not my thing.
I ran a 0.1 marathon one day. That's a block. I'm good. I walk a lot. I walk a lot. Not a runner anymore.
Better for your joints, that walking.
That's right.
Well, listen, folks, we hope you get to walk to a wonderful commemorative Memorial Day weekend. Walk through that with safety and with, again, some reverence for those who have given our nation their highest sacrifices. We're going to have a special Memorial Day show for you on Monday, so do not miss it. Packed with veteran-based content. I'm Maggie Dawn. That is my senior producer, Jamie. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us this Friday afternoon. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together in reverence and memorialization for those that have served and given our country the highest sacrifice. Take care, y'all.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro praising President Trump's announcement of a merger between U.S. Steel and the Japanese-owned Nippon Steel. Mr. Trump saying U.S. Steel's HQ will remain in Pittsburgh. Wall Street's major indexes closed lower after President Trump threatened a 50% tariff on all imports from the European Union and a 25% tariff on smartphones made overseas. A federal judge has temporarily blocked the Trump administration from ordering Harvard University not to admit any foreign students. The university is suing over the order, a Chinese student at Harvard.
Today can really fundamentally reset people's belief, in how far the administration could go.
Billy Joel canceling all scheduled concerts, saying he's dealing with a brain disorder which has affected his hearing, vision, and balance. Physical therapy expected to lead to a full recovery. This is ABC News.